Good morning. You're listening to the show on 91.5. I'm Lauren Gilger with Christina Estes and Steve Goldstein.
When you're a kid, playing in the sandbox can be fun. But when it comes to the realm of innovation, it can be a necessity, even with inherent risks. By signing HB 2434 into law, Governor Doug Ducey has made Arizona the first state to be in what's called a regulatory sandbox. This particular sandbox is focused on fintech, in which tech companies and firms enter into traditional finance industries to compete with their services. And to learn more about what that could mean for Arizona and the broader industries, I'm joined by Brian Knight, Director of the Program on Financial Regulation at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Brian, let's start by having you define what fintech is.
There's a definitional issue there. The broadest definition is the application of technology to the provision of financial services, in which case it isn't really new. I mean, the ATM or coinage would count. But what we're talking about in this particular context is a combination of new methods, largely technology-enabled methods of providing financial services, like the use of the internet as a delivery mechanism or the use of artificial intelligence and significantly complex algorithms to do things like underwriting, and the arrival of new players in the space from outside traditional finance who look more like tech firms than they look like banks.
From a free market point of view, does it make sense to have this kind of place, this kind of availability for companies, for agencies, for firms to try these things out?
Depends on how it's executed. If this actually provides an area where firms can try out new and innovative products, to see if they work, see what the impact on consumers is, without fear of, outsized regulatory risk, that could be very positive for the market and for consumers because they get the benefit of this innovation. Of course, if it becomes a case where only select privileged firms get the advantage of the sandbox and the competition is at a disadvantage, then that could pose a real problem.
What do we know about what has worked in other countries that have tried it? The UK, Singapore, United Arab Emirates, and Australia, are these countries that we should be following here? Are these countries that have success when it comes to this?
Different countries are sort of at different stages of the process. The UK is by far the most developed, and they've run several different iterations of their sandbox. And so far, it seems to be, on the whole, a positive. It seems to be beneficial to consumers, beneficial to competition, to have these firms being able to try out things early on without having to go get the full licensing and all of that. In that regard, there is something to be said for emulating. And of course, the United States is not any of those other countries, and we have unique challenges. So while I think that the concept is definitely worth considering and pursuing, we're going to have to adapt it to our unique situation.
What are some of those obvious unique challenges?
One challenge that we have that, say, the UK doesn't is that we have a federal system of government where both Arizona and the federal government have overlapping laws regarding things like consumer protection, bank licensing, et cetera. And so there's going to have to be coordination between the states and the federal government to make this really work. It won't do a company any good, and companies are going to be leery to try to use the sandbox if they feel comfortable with how they're going to be treated by Arizona, and yet the federal government may come down on them like a ton of bricks. You're going to need to have coordination between the federal and the state governments to make sure this really works.
How do you think the actual professional banking industry or people who are professional finance folks feel about having this be a little bit more experimental in terms of the tech industry getting involved? And so we're talking about people who are not necessarily finance experts or bankers themselves.
I think you're going to see a range of opinions. Some finance professionals acknowledge that this is actually a good thing to have more competition, to have more innovation. It allows the finance firms who want to innovate themselves to also participate. Less good, I think you see some firms just concerned about the additional competition and worried that they won't be able to compete. But of course, that's not really a justification in and of itself. The goal is to have consumers be able to access the services they need in the best way possible, and competition is supposed to drive that.
And how much could it potentially change the traditional structure of what we've seen in banking and finance? As you said, it's trial and error. We don't know where it's going yet, but is there a chance this could be some sort of a revolution?
I mean, I think that there is a possibility for significant change. I don't know if I go quite so far as to say revolution, though. I mean, that could always happen. But I think you're going to see there's definitely the potential that consumers are going to be able to access more services at better prices with more convenience, and the firm they get them from may be, you know, a traditional bank that has just really modernized, in which case, great, or it might be a non-traditional firm that's just better at providing those services, in which case, also great.
Is this something that helps Arizona get more on the map in some ways? Do you see that in any way, the fact that Arizona is trying to be an innovator and a pioneer in this?
There's definitely that potential that if Arizona develops a reputation for being pro-innovation, you know, within appropriate guardrails, but being pro-innovation and welcome to innovation, there is certainly the possibility that's going to get Arizona more attention and may lead Arizona to be one of the leading states in financial innovation going forward.
Well, when it comes to dealing with anything, but especially when it comes to our finances, I mean, people are uptight, and many of us don't even understand some of the nuances in the current making up of things. So if, in fact, there's more this sandbox and fintech advances and whatnot, what do you see as the inherent risks there?
There are certainly risks, including that certain things may not work out the way they're designed or intended. I mean, you know, to the extent that you have, for example, an AI algorithm, that algorithm may work out in a way that is not intended, and it's kind of hard to suss out why it worked the way it did. Now, people are working on that, and the beauty of a thing like a sandbox is it allows you to trial things in a small use case with appropriate protections. But the other thing we should really keep in mind is that the status quo isn't risk-free either. And so it's not just a case of, well, the status quo has no risks and fintech has risks. It's which presents the better risk profile.
Brian Knight is director of the Program on Financial Regulation at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University.